It doesn't con oh, now it is, of course. Never mind, it wasn't working before. Right, we had a little hiccup there at the beginning. If you heard me talking to Alex on the phone, because he was having some trouble with his, and so things weren't going to begin with, and now they're going as soon as I called him and said, "Hey, I can't get on." So here we are. Well, it's Friday night, and I want to remind y'all I will not be here next week. I'm going to the beach. And yes, of course, it's another rock hunting trip for me. This time it'll be more fossils and shells and things, and going with a few of the gang from the Dallas Gem and Mineral Society. Not an official trip, so we don't have to do any sign any special paperwork saying we don't hold the club responsible if we get hurt. We know we're all responsible for ourselves. But it should be fun. This is going to be new to me. I haven't been shell hunting or fossil hunting at the beach, gosh, since my oldest was a little kid. I remember we took Jim when he was about 3 years old, and I was a co-op, an admin assistant in the computer science department at Lamar, and there was a Chinese student, grad student, and she had a little boy the same age. So we took her, my ex-husband and I, our little boy, and her little boy and her, to the beach. There's a state park along the Bolivar Peninsula, Sea Rim State Park. And she's saw the beach and she said, "Oh, it's so beautiful." And Mark and I are looking at each other going, you think that's beautiful? Because I'm gonna be honest, you know, I've seen the California coast, I've seen the Portland coast, I've seen the Florida coast, the Texas coast up close to the Mississippi where we were. Well, no, actually we're close to Sabine Pass. It is not pretty. Everything's brown. You go into the water about 3 inches and you can't see your feet anymore. You get ankle deep and your feet disappear because the water's that muddy from the silt from both the Mississippi and Sabine that move along. It clears up by the time you get down to, like, closer to Corpus and to Padre Island. People go, you know, they go to Florida, but here in Texas they go to South Padre Island. That's the big thing. And that's down close to the Mexico border. But up where we were and where we're going now, not so pretty. And jellyfish was having a little memories we were discussing with the folks going what to look out for on the beach. And one of the things that is it just frightens the heck out of me is something called a man-o-war jellyfish. Now, when you see them washed up on the beach, it looks like a bubble and seaweed. But those things, especially if they're in the water and they brush up against you, oh my God. There is no sting quite like it. It is extremely painful. And one of the things one of my fellow rock hounds said, yes, if we see those in the water, we will not be in the water. And I can attest to that. There's no way I'm going in water that's got Manowars in it. Those things are scary. They're like a jellyfish, but 10 times worse. So jellyfish stings, they're terrible. Manowar jellyfish stings, there's nothing quite like them. And one of the people going that's a marine biologist said was that they are actually multiple organisms, independent organisms working sort of together in a colony. So it's more of a colony. It's more like an ant hill, you know. And if you live in the state of Texas or in some of the surrounding areas and you're familiar with ant farms, you know that, like, you don't get just bit once. They bite you and bite you and bite you, and they just swarm, and suddenly you're covered. In fact, that just happened to a friend of mine recently. But here we are on a Friday night, and we're a few minutes in, and still nobody is here on the call. So if you want to join, all you need to do is go to gabnet.net. That's GABNET.net. Go to gabnet.net and join in on our call here on The Intersection. Today, before we get into the trivia fun, I thought we could talk about dreams. Or maybe if you want to talk about your experiences at the beach, at whatever beach you went to. Did you go to a private island? We saw the beaches in Turkey and in Greece. Oh, here comes Charlie. Hey, Charlie.
Amy, hi. I'm the first one. Jeez.
You are the first one. You're quite often the first one, especially on Fridays.
Yeah, I guess Alan has to go do something between shows because he was on Alex's show.
Yeah, had some strange things happening at the beginning trying to figure out what was going on. Alex said he had some problems.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He had to reboot and all that. Yeah.
I went to turn off his encoder and it was already off, and I'm like, Okay. And so then I asked him about it, and he's like, yeah, it's off. Okay. All right. So I hit the go button, and it wouldn't connect, And I'm like, calling Alex. And as soon as I get Alex on the phone, I hit the button again to try to connect. And, of course, immediately connects.
It worked that time. Yeah. It's like you got this problem with your car, and as soon as you take it into the mechanic, all of a sudden it works.
That's exactly it. Exactly it. Well, I was just talking about going to the beach because, you know, next week I'm going to the beach. And I was talking about experiences. So where have you been to the beach? Where all have you been to the beach?
I've been to the beach in Corpus Christi many times because my ex-wife was from Corpus Christi. And we used to visit there 2 or 3 times a year. So we always went to the beach there. And I've been to the beach when I lived in Houston. So, yeah.
So down there in Galveston, did you ever go across to Crystal Beach and that area across the ferry?
No, I never did. No, I never did that. Yeah,
we're going to be across the ferry there.
Okay.
That's where I grew up going to. We rent the beach house on Kaplan, which is next to Crystal Beach. And then we would, you know, for the day, we'd go drive over and take the ferry to Galveston and visit Galveston. And I was talking at the beginning before anybody came on about going to Serum State Park and taking this young mother at. My oldest, Jim, was about 3 years old, and I was a grad student in the computer science department. There was a Chinese grad student from mainland China, from the mountains. And I remember taking her to Serum State Park and her saying, oh, it's so beautiful, and thinking, you've got to be kidding. This is the ugliest beach in the world.
But if you haven't been to a beach before, any beach looks good.
I guess so. Because I've seen, you know, I've seen a lot of beaches. When I started adding it up, you know, we went to I've been to the beaches in California and
Yeah,
Oregon.
me
And to islands, the Pacific Northwest, and islands in the Caribbean, and Miami, and Sarasota. I've seen beaches
Yep.
in Denmark,
Ooh.
and I've seen beaches in Greece and Turkey now after
Yes.
our trip there. And by far, without a doubt, that Texas coast close to Louisiana is quite definitely the ugliest beach I've ever been to in my life.
I've never been to that beach, So I've been to Padre Island and off Corpus Christi and
Yeah, we'll see. What happens is the Mississippi and the Sabine, and Wayne has joined us by now. Mississippi and the Sabine River, they dump their silt on the North Texas coast. And so on the it's not North Texas, it's
you mean
the
that, yeah.
easternmost coast of Texas.
Yeah.
And so by the time you get down to Corpus, it's cleaned up quite a bit, and then when you get down to Padre, it's much cleaner. But it's really just muddy water,
No.
and the fish are not pretty, and the shells are there's nothing colorful. The water is not blue, it's just kind of muddy brown.
Well, I growing up in Chicago, the beaches at Lake Michigan were always nice. We used to love going down there in the summer.
I don't think I've ever seen any of the beaches on the Great Lakes. I
Yeah.
think that's on a
How's the
to-do
beaches
list.
on Lake Erie there, Wayne?
I really haven't been to any of them.
Ah.
Cleveland's got one. Well, it's on a slightly west side of town, but they usually launch the fireworks from that area. But I'm not one for water, so I don't go to beaches or anything like that.
What about growing up? Did you go to the beach anywhere when you were growing up?
Well, let's see. My uncle had a cabin up in Ontario, and that was on a lake. So that's probably the closest I got to that kind of thing. I remember fishing, off the breakwall in Lake Erie, but it kind of spooked me. I just don't go near water anymore.
See, now, me and my kids are just totally at home in water.
I'm totally at home in the swimming pool in my apartment complex.
Yeah, I mean, that's when I met David, we were in an apartment complex with a swimming pool, and we would go, down to the pool all the time. In fact, that's where I met David and where the kids picked him.
Oh, really? Oh, the kids picked them, huh?
I just remember Cullen, who was just a toddler, he was only a year and a half, had his arms wrapped around David's neck, and David was throwing pennies for Jim and his friend who had spent the night for them to dive to for. And they were like kids with a stray puppy. Can we keep him, Mom? Alan, what are your beach experiences?
Beach,
Yeah.
yeah. I'll make sure you got that. I don't go in the water, it's too cold. I don't know.
That's what's nice about the Caribbean. The water is nice and warm.
Yeah, okay.
I've been to the beach in Cayman Islands in Jamaica, off Honduras, and yeah, that's nice.
All right. So now you know one of my beach experiences. I know
Well,
one thing you don't want to do. You don't want to be all sweaty on the beach and try and have sex at night. Because Because the sand sticks to the wrong things.
Are you
she
speaking?
She initiated it, so, but we both suffered for a few days.
That sounds painful. I am already picturing, I am feeling it. Ow.
Yep.
Ow.
Sand is kind of gritty. Yeah.
She said to me, she said, I didn't think you'd end up with that much sand on that. And I said, I don't know. It's dark out here. It's pitch black. We're on the beach. I didn't notice. And she says, well, get some more lube. And I said, okay, I'll run down to the local store and get lube. We don't have lube. I had a condom on. And she says, of course you have a condom on, but a condom is sticky. I'm like, okay.
All right.
I said, so why don't we stop doing this? Let me take the condom off. And the sand won't hurt your teeth. You got me all excited in the sand, and nobody put. I mean, we were 16 or 17.
Yeah, sex on the beach may be a good mixed drink, but I can't imagine that it's a good actual experience.
No, not it wasn't for us.
No.
I didn't want any kids at 16, and she didn't want any kids, so she insisted, and I insisted on a condom. But the condom was, I opened one up when I got home and they were not sticky, but the latex and the sand stuck to it.
Well, I can imagine that sand just sticks to everything.
Yeah.
And so whether or not you had a condom on, it was going to be sticking to you.
Well, we didn't know that, you know, and she's like, come on, you got to have a condom with you. And I said, okay, well, let me get one out. And I pulled out like four of them. And I went, oops. And she's like, oh, you never need more than one. And I'm like, we're 16 years old, high school kids. And I'm like, I'm thinking, well, with her, I only need one, but I might need another one because some other girl might come by or I might, you know, something else. And I said, I just grabbed a handful of them.
You had ambitions.
Yes. Be prepared.
That's the Boy Scouts marching song.
It worked out because we had oral sex on the beach, and we both got sand in our mouth, and a little bit, and but not as much as anyhow. You know, later that night, I didn't need to shower or anything. I dropped her off, and I met my second girlfriend that she didn't know about. And I said, I'm a little sweaty from being on the beach. And she said, I don't care what, if you're sweaty or not, come on in. And we went, I could have showered at her house, but nah, she just wanted to go right to bed. And so, and there was no sand. That was my beach experience.
Yeah. I don't go to the beach for sex. So
yeah, sex is.
I didn't go to the beach for sex either. We just happened to be a little drunk at the beach. It's the only place the police wouldn't bother us. This was in Santa Cruz, and it was a warm night. Yeah. And so she says, you know, since it's so warm here, let's make use of the warmth. And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm all sweaty. I knew exactly what she meant.
Yeah.
She says, get a condom out of your wallet. You know, we carried them in our wallets in those days. And I pulled one out, and it was attached to three others. And, boy, I got in trouble for that.
You were just planning on doing it multiple times with her.
Absolutely. I made up some excuse. She bought it. Who the hell knows? We stayed together for another year, but we never did it on the beach again.
You know, when I was in high school, AIDS was a thing.
Yeah.
And the idea of having sex without a condom was just not.
So you were in high school in the 80s then, right?
Yes. I graduated class of 83.
Yeah, AIDS kind of really went full blast about
that. That had to be different. So I was in high school in the 60s. So we didn't have to worry about AIDS or any of that stuff. Yeah,
well, venereal diseases.
Worry about a clap.
Yep, a BD and a penicillin shot, and you're on your way.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Nah. Lucky you, you know? Some people have all the luck.
Goodness gracious.
You got your update done. I had no updates. I just couldn't log
in. No, me either.
I couldn't. I even did check for updates because I know it updated. It did the Tuesday, Wednesday morning update.
Yeah, I had to do one Wednesday after Tuesday, yeah.
Right, but I haven't had another one. I did the check and nothing happened. And I thought, well, why can't I get on? I click on your thing. I clicked on Alex. It's on the same website. Yep. Got right on, but, you know, and then I couldn't get it. And I thought, oh, that's why I put a text in there. I'm going to reboot. And I rebooted, and it worked immediately. So
yeah. Well, I came in here, and there was a major update, and it asked me the question, install and reboot. And so I said, sure. But that was at like 10 minutes to the show starts, and I was crossing my fingers I would be rebooted in time for the show.
You can say no, and it'll stay there. It's okay.
Yeah, but then you never know. All kinds of weird things will happen. You know, because...
Could have happened the day before they released the update, too, so...
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, well, I had an update on Wednesday.
Right.
That I applied. Actually, I applied it on Tuesday. But there was something else today. And that's probably why you needed to reboot.
I didn't hear what Wayne did on the beach.
Well, I can't brag about anything there. I only got like 3 inches, but most girls say that's wide enough.
I need a ba-dump bump. I need a rim shot button.
That was you know, when you said 3 inches, I
that's not quite
not
the
even
same
Asian.
Thing.
I mean, what's going on, you know? And then when he said most girls think it's wide enough, I mean, that was a good ringer.
I just heard that a couple of days ago.
You know, I've seen the drink. You were a bartender. I've seen the drink Sex on the
Beach. Made it.
I never drank it because I had fear it was going to have sand in it or something. I didn't fear it was going to have sand. I just had bad memories of Sex on the Beach.
It's been so long since I attended bar, I've forgotten what's in a Sex on the Beach. Maybe we can somebody up. If you remember, if you know what's in Sex on the Beach... why don't you join the conversation by going to gabnet.net. That's gabnet.net and click on Amy Manuel's intersection and that'll take you right to this Zoom section and you can tell us how to make sex on the beach and about your beach experiences. Yeah, I started off, I was telling Charlie about this woman from China, mainland China. Well, we took her to Sea Rim State Park, which is just about the ugliest beach in the world. Well, no, further down is a little uglier. It gets worse as you go toward Galveston. And
beaches in Denton? No.
No.
In Beaumont.
Well, not really in Beaumont either. It's about a 45-minute drive to the coast from Beaumont. But this was Sea Rim State Park, which is between High Island and Sabine Pass. And she was just awestruck. She thought it was so beautiful. And I'm like, oh, let me tell you, this is not beautiful. Now, you go to, like, the private K that we stopped on when Mark and I went on our cruise in the Caribbean. That was beautiful. That was beautiful.
But that probably didn't have an oil sheen floating on it like the Gulf of America. So I looked up Sex on the Beach. So when you're ready, I'll tell you.
All right. What is in Sex on the Beach?
1.5 ounces of vodka, 3/4 ounce peach schnapps. Boy, you're going to get drunk on this. 1.5 ounces cranberry juice. And, well, I guess not too bad. 1.5 ounces of orange juice, ice cubes. an orange slice, and a maraschino cherry.
Actually, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it does. I thought it was going to go into more liquor, but it was only the vodka and the beach stuff.
It's kind of like what I have sans the alcohol, sans the vodka and peach schnapps. I have what I call bar hopping for democracy. And I would go and I would get cranberry and orange juice. And that's what that would be my mixed drink that I would walk around with. It was just cranberry and orange juice with no alcohol in it. But, you know, you look like you're participating.
Yes, absolutely.
And, and then I would try to convince people to vote for me.
You should have put the vodka in there.
Yeah, that was
coming.
Well, the
out.
Last thing I needed was to get a DUI,
yeah.
Right? Because I was
or
out of
worse is, or worse is hit a bump and your glass falls over and gets and you, now you got sticky stuff on the floor in the car, you know. you know the funnest part of trying to drive fast, like on purpose, you know, like in a pursuit, is what do you do with your coffee mug? And we all have little places in the car where you stick your cup of coffee so it doesn't end up in your lap or on the floor.
Wow.
Because you're making pretty high-speed maneuvers and stuff when you're going lights and siren to something, not always chasing somebody, just going to a call. And you got a full cup of hot coffee. And so I always had one place where I could stick it, and I could probably roll the car over and it wouldn't do anything. Thank God I never did. The worst thing I ever did with a patrol car was run over a 4x4 piece of wood stop sign in pitch black. Didn't even know it was there. Drove by it. Must have been 1,000 times in the past 3 years. And I cut the corner a little too sharp, knowing that it was all dirt. I didn't realize there was a stop sign on a 4x4 piece of wood. Crunch. Oops. God, I hope that didn't do any damage to the car. It didn't. In those days, they made cars that held up in the 80s.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, besides the beach, and the reason I was talking about the beach is because I am going to be gone next week. I'm going to be at the beach on a rock hounding trip. But I thought we could talk about dreams, because I had a weird one last night. And so let's just go around the panel. Now, Charlie, I'll start with you. What's the most memorable or weirdest dream or predictive dream experience you've had?
Is this a family show?
Yeah, I was kidding. No, yeah, really. It must be with Wayne's 3-inch wide.
Jeez. I don't usually remember my dreams, so I don't. I can't.
Boy, really, that was a quick escape.
I don't. I'll remember them when I first wake up, and I think that was weird or that was strange. But then,
well, that's usually what happens to me. But this was one of those ones that stuck with me. Wayne, how about you? You have any?
No, like Charlie, if you can't remember them after that, you know.
Yeah, when
important.
I'm having a weird dream, I'm in the middle of having, you know, I mean, the weirdest ones, I'm in the middle of having sex with four women, and I wake up right before the orgasm. I mean, what's up with that?
Yeah.
I had this dream last night that I was with some people, and we were climbing this mountain, and it was either in, like, Tibet or, you know, the Arctic Circle or someplace where we're way up in the mountains and lots of snow. And they're like, well, we're going to camp for the night. And I'm like, no, I'm going back to the village. And I slide in the snow like it's a water slide, but like straight down the mountain. And at some point I go, I'm sure I was like airborne and off a cliff, but then I land in more deep snow. And then I was outside this little like apartment complex that was all made of wood. It was kind of pretty on the outside, But then all these men who looked, I want to say South Asian or maybe Tibetan or maybe they were Inuit. I don't know. They were olive complected and they were speaking a language that was not English and not Spanish and nothing I recognized. And they all started chasing me. And that's when I woke up. But it was just, because I always hear about people who have dreams that like predict things. I remember I had one friend who she had a dream that her brother was, she saw her brother in a casket, you know, like at a funeral. And then the next day she learned her brother died. And people have all kinds of these dreams that predict things. I never have dreams that predict things. I have dreams that aren't physically possible. Like defy the laws of physics. And they're just weird.
So a friend of mine, let's see if I can get this right, because this has happened in history too, and it's broadcast. Let me go back in history. In 1959, January 1959, the Big Bopper, Buddy Holly, and Richie Valens died.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Big Bopper from Beaumont, Texas.
The Big Bopper's son, who had never seen his father, wanted to have an autopsy because there was a .22 caliber pistol located at the scene of the crash. He wanted to make sure that his father wasn't shot. So they hired a forensic, a pathologist or whatever that was retired, and redid and opened the coffin. And it looked so much like him. He had not decayed much in 50 or 60 years or whatever.
Wow.
So a friend of mine saw that. And a couple of days later, a friend of his calls him and says, I want to go see my parents. They were buried before I was born. And he said, well, you know, I just saw this thing on YouTube about this.
Whoa. His parents were buried before he was born? That's not possible.
I can understand his dad, but how did his
mother? I guess that's true.
That's not possible.
Okay, well, I guess maybe he was born in the coffin. I don't know. They were actually in a plane accident before he was born. So maybe I got maybe
that's not possible.
Anything's possible. Trump has proved that. So I don't know. It was a weird what he told me. It was weird, and I was thinking the same thing. How could you have been dead before your mother and father before they were buried? You know, and stuff. And I don't know. And then we looked into it, and what had happened is his mother and father had him, and he was 4 years old when they were in this plane accident. And he just doesn't have the memory of the four years before it. And so that explained sort of what happened.
Clearly they weren't buried before
he couldn't afford to pay to see his parents. And why would you want to have them dug up?
Yeah.
I mean, it's been proven through a coroner and everything that they're dead. Why don't you remember them as you got pictures of them, family pictures and stuff?
Yeah, don't.
Why would you want to dig them up? They're not going to look the same. And when he found out the pathologist wanted like $40,000 and they needed a tractor and the place where they were buried was against it, he changed his mind. He just settled for the pictures. But he didn't remember the 4 years before, because this actually happened. They chartered a plane to go somewhere, and the pilot passed out, and they just lost control, and they hit the side of a mountain, and that was it. But he was 4 years old when this happened. He just didn't remember anything before that. Because I said the same thing. I could see your father fathering, doing something with your mother, you know, and making you into something growing her, you know, an egg. But your mother's got to be alive or fairly alive fairly soon before you were born. You know, I mean, she could have died.
Unless, of course, you live in Fort Worth.
Yeah, I guess.
But that's another story.
Yeah, but you know, if his mother had died in an accident and he was in the car with her or something like that, and they noticed that he was near birth, they could have cut her open, yeah, and he could have lived. But it wasn't. It was 4 years difference. So.
Yeah.
And he said, "Well, that was strange. Something told me in my brain I should go look at him and talk to him." I'm like, just go to the wherever they're buried and talk to them. They're going to hear you about as much as they are, you know, if you dig them up, you know. So, and then I thought to myself, I think this guy's probably a Republican. I want to stay away from him.
It's just not officially, unless, of course, you live in Fort Worth, where there was an EMT who had a DNR, a do not resuscitate orders, and she had all, you know, living will and all that. And she was in some sort of accident where she was on life support and brain dead. And because she was, I think, 16 weeks pregnant, they wouldn't let her die, even though the family and the doctor wanted to let the family move on, you know, and go ahead and bury her. And but the state of Texas and the hospital intervened and were keeping this woman. Even a judge said, "Let the woman die. Let the family move on."
Yes.
But you know, fucking Republicans. Sorry.
Yep.
You know, they were using this woman as an incubator.
If this woman was within a week of delivering, you know, at 9 months or somewhere close to it, I could see keeping her alive long enough to do the surgery and pull the child out and him surviving or her surviving. But not that far apart. That's just wrong.
She was 16 weeks. Actually, I think she might have been 14 weeks.
It's a typical Republican thing. We only care about you while you're in the womb. Once you're out of the womb,
you're on your own.
We don't give a shit.
Yeah,
about
he'll you. Starve to death after he's out of the womb. Yeah, but
that's right. I mean, I wanted to stay in the womb for a while. I had good womb service.
If you're pre-born, they got you. If you're preschool, you're on your own.
Yeah.
So nobody has any good. Any good stories about?
I did have one recurring dream where I would be falling, and I always woke up before I hit the ground. But that's all I remember of it. So I don't know if that's
I trip in my dreams sometimes, and I fall. You know, and I wake up that next, you know, 5 minutes later to go urinate or something. I go, well, thank God I caught myself, and you know, I'm joking to myself, making a joke to myself. But I said, I just dreamt that I was falling or I tripped over something.
Yeah, I've had falling dreams. I've also had I'm naked in public dreams.
I think that was the reason why you lost the election.
Oh my gosh, I just watched
the
most recent episode of Loot. And I don't know if you've seen it, but she's this billionaire that's trying to do good things with her money. And her assistant has faked a crash and she's on a private island where she's got a estate. And he's made her believe that she's roughing it on this private island, but really her mansion is right behind her and she just doesn't know it. But at some point, her employees come looking for her and they're trying to get on the plane and get off the island and the plane breaks down. So they see there's another mansion on the other side of the island. And the other side of the island is a nudist colony led by Henry Winkler. And it's all these people in their 70s and 80s living on the beach on this island. in the nude. It was quite hilarious. But you know, everything Henry Lou Engler does is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, think about all the series that he's been in. You know, it was Happy Days, and then there was Arrested Development. There was, oh, what's the one with the serial killer?
Dexter?
No, not Dexter.
No, not Dexter.
No, actually, I don't think he's a serial killer. I think he's like a contract killer. And Henry Winkler, the contract killer, is a guy. It's somebody that used to be on Saturday Night Live, back in the I want to say in the 90s or maybe the early 2000s, Henry Winkler is a director at a community theater. And this guy wants to be he was in the same generation of Saturday Night Live, the same cast as Seth Meyers and Jimmy Fallon, and I can't think of his name, but it was what was the name of that show? It's a really good one. It was really funny too. Anyway, everything Henry Winkler does, one of my favorite movies of all time is Night Shift.
Oh, yeah.
With Henry Winkler.
That was good.
Henry Winkler, Michael Keaton, Shelley Long.
I remember in that movie, Keaton picks up a picture of his wife or whatever it was from his desk. He picks it up, holds it in his hand, he says, "Oh, nice frame." And it puts it back. He was Parks and Recreation. He was the dentist, father of those two kids.
Oh, was he in that?
Yeah.
What I loved was Michael Keaton has turned the hearse into a limo, and picks up the two kids for the for prom night. And he says, "Y'all like the Stones?" And they said, "Yeah, he is." And he just starts going, was this
Satisfaction?
He starts singing Satisfaction, but he's doing the guitar riff at the beginning, and I can't remember.
Yeah.
For some reason, all I can think of is Deep Purple.
No, it was Jumpin' Jack Flash, wasn't it?
Jumpin' Jack Flash. That's it.
That's what it was, yeah.
Feed mayonnaise to tuna. This is great ideas. Oh, that was a fun movie. That was just... You know, I have this love for obscure 80s movies, and that's among my favorite. I would say that's my favorite Henry Winkler movie and my favorite Michael Keaton movie. I saw... I don't know. I guess we could go ahead and do some trivia now that we've only got 15 minutes or so to go. Shall we do some trivia?
Sure.
This is our last show before I take the week.
You'll be gone for a week.
I'll be gone for a week, yes. All right. Category is also known as... What is the Show Me State?
That would be Missouri.
That is correct. Also, the best state for rock hounding. It is.
Are you sure it's pronounced Missouri instead of misery?
All right. Before they were Pearl Jam, the band named itself for what basketball team?
Boston Celtics. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Mookie Blaylock. The title of the band's first album, 10, refers to the number Blaylock wore on the New Jersey Nets.
Okay.
Good.
Okay. What U.S. president was nicknamed Shrub? This says, the card says by its detractor, by his detractors, but I'm going to tell you specifically by Molly Ivins and Jim Hightower.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wrote a book.
This is George W. Bush.
Yep.
Shrub.
Because
he was a younger Bush.
Right. He was a little Bush. I wrote a parody to Janis Joplin's Mercedes-Benz. And there was a verse in it, "Oh Lord, won't you bring us a new president? You brought us a shrubbery, that's not what we meant." All right, who is writer Daniel Handler best known as?
Jimmy Carter.
Lemony Snicket. The author of A Series of Unfortunate Events. Did your kids read those books, Charlie?
No, we never read that.
What large animal goes by the Latin name Ursus Arctos Horribilis? Horribilis.
That would be a polar bear.
Oh, you're close.
Nah.
A grizzly bear.
Oh, grizzly.
Really? Mm.
What NBA All-Star was known as the Round Mound of Rebound?
Come on, you know that, don't you, Wayne?
No.
That was Charles Barkley.
Oh, okay.
You know, I didn't know it, and I don't know who Charles Barkley is, so tell me, Wayne. Who's Charles Barkley?
He used to play basketball, now he does sports
commentary.
After the game's over, they show
He's a sports commentator.
Commentator.
Yeah. Yeah, but he was on the Dream Team.
Yeah, he was on the Dream Team. He played for the Phoenix Suns for many, many years.
He also played for Houston Rockets. Okay. And
the Dream Team. Boy, that sounds Republican to me.
No, that was Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
It was the Olympics.
Finally played on the Olympics, yeah.
Who else was on the Dream Team?
O.J. Simpson?
Jordan.
What?
Simpson played football.
Was it Dr. J? Was he on it? I don't know that. He might have been too old.
He might have been too old. It was Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley. And there was a little guy.
And Larry Bird, I believe. Yeah. But they were beating people 150-20 or something.
Yeah,
I mean, they were just killing the other teams.
It was not. It wasn't even fair to call it. I think wasn't that the first Olympics with basketball?
No, they had basketball before, but you couldn't have pros. They had to be college basketball players in the Olympics.
Oh. Okay. But I'll never forget that. And then weren't they all in Space Jam? Characters in Space Jam?
I'm sure they were, but I never saw Space Jam.
So. You never saw Space Jam?
No.
I remember taking my kids to see it, and then we had it, I think we had it on VHS too.
Yeah.
That was a fun movie. I was dating David when that movie came out.
Oh, wow. That long ago. Wow.
That was the 1990s.
That's probably 30 years ago if you're talking the mid-90s.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we weren't even married yet, and we've been married for, 28 years?
Yeah.
Wow. Or 27 years. All right. In what country can you visit the springs at the Sanctuary of Our Lady of Lourdes. Guess a country. I'll give you a hint. It's in Europe.
Italy?
No.
London?
No.
Spain?
No.
No Spain either.
France.
France. Oh, okay. I was way off.
The water is believed by some to have miraculous healing properties. What actress played the victim in the shower scene of Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho?
Ah, Jamie Lee Curtis's mom, Janet something or other.
What's Jamie Lee Curtis's middle name?
Lee?
Yeah.
Oh, Janet Lee. Yeah. That's it, yeah.
All right. What type of bath still practiced today involves bathing in steam from water thrown on hot stones?
Sauna.
Sauna is correct. The Wife of Bath's Tale is part of what classic work written in Middle English? Had to read it in English.
I did too.
College level, I think.
It's right on the tip of my tongue.
Well, show us the tip of your tongue so we know.
The Canterbury Tales by...
Canterbury Tales.
By Chaucer.
Yep, we had to read that. In college, yeah.
What is the saponification? What is created by saponification? What is created by saponification?
Not a clue.
Soap.
Soap, okay.
All right. What bath product was advertised by harried people who would beg it to take me away?
Calgon.
Yes, Calgon, take me away. All right, new category, jingles. What side dish is the San Francisco treat? Come on, Alan, that's yours.
Alan, you should know that.
Sourdough bread.
No.
Come on.
Rice-a-roni.
Rice-a-roni, the San Francisco treat. What food product's original jingle started with, uh-oh?
Come on.
SpaghettiOs.
I think you're right, Charlie.
What 70s singer sang Be a Pepper for Dr. Pepper commercials before his career took off? I never would have guessed that.
Be a Pepper.
I remember seeing a guy singing Be a Pepper, but
it's not the guy singing.
Oh, okay.
He wrote the songs that made the whole world sing.
Oh, you're kidding. Barry Manilow wrote all that?
Barry Manilow.
He wrote Bee and Pepper?
Yep.
I never knew that.
Which song was the first live music played in outer space? Was it Jingle Bells, Rockabye Baby, or Twinkle Twinkle Little Star?
It's got to be the last one.
But it isn't.
It isn't.
Jingle Bells.
It is Jingle Bells. The Gemini 6 astronauts played it as part of a prank in which they claimed to have spotted Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah.
What that really was Donald Trump on the toilet going through space.
What's the zoologically inspired name for a snippet of music that gets stuck in your head?
Yeah, that's on the tip of my tongue now.
Yeah. It's something worm.
You're so close.
I know. Hey.
Wayne, do you know?
No.
A song stuck in your head is called a... And Charlie gave you the last half, a blank worm.
Memory worm.
No.
It's a part of the body.
Brain worm.
No. But you're close.
Earworm.
Earworm.
Yeah.
Earworm.
I just couldn't remember that.
What Beatles song did Nike license for an ad campaign leading to an explosion of licensed music in commercials? No idea?
No.
Revolution.
Oh, okay.
I had for January 6th, I had clipped to be able to use for my program Political Musings, a clip from Revolution. You say you want a revolution.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we all want to save the world, but when you talk about destruction, don't you know that you can count me out?
Yep.
I had that clipped just to use, you know, play it over and over again.
Mm.
All right. Who told a room full of Trekkies, get a life, during a guest spot on Saturday Night Live?
William Shatner.
That is correct.
I was just a guess.
Well, you know that movie that was based on that. Which movie was not directed by Steven Spielberg? Alien, E.T. the Extraterrestrial, Minority Report, or Artificial Intelligence, AI?
Minority Report.
Alien.
Alien was Ridley Scott.
Yep.
What sci-fi legend was one of the first to have his ashes buried in space?
James Doohan from who was Scotty on Star Trek.
Well, you're on the right track with Star Trek. But let me read
Leonard
the question again.
Leonard
what sci-fi legend was one of the first to have his ashes buried in space?
Dr. McCoy.
Maybe she's talking about a sci-fi writer.
Gene Roddenberry.
Gene Roddenberry. There you go.
Gene Roddenberry. That's what I was saying. You're on the right track with Star Trek, but you got the wrong one.
I just remembered that was one of the most famous things in Star Trek, is that Scotty had his ashes sent up in space.
Yeah. What comedy series follows the adventures of Arthur Dent and his alien friend Ford Prefect? They also made a movie of it. It started out as a radio show.
Oh.
And then it was a book. It was a BBC series. Arthur Dent and Ford Prefect.
Sounds like I should know that.
Let me give you a little bit of the plot. Mice have created our Earth as a computer to try to figure out the answer to life, the universe, and everything, which turns out to be 42.
Okay. So
then they had to figure out the question. Y'all don't know? Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. That's one of my favorites. I've seen the.
That's why I remember. That's how where I heard the Ford prefix.
Yeah, I've read the book. I've seen the BBC series. I've seen the movie. Love it, love it, love it, love it. All of the above. I've listened to the radio program even. What modern day device was introduced as fiction in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
The cell phone.
No.
No.
The e-reader. In the series, the guide itself is a handheld electronic book.
Wow.
What sport did astronaut Alan Shepard try out on the moon during the Apollo 14 mission?
Well, we all know that, don't we? He hit a golf ball.
Yep. All right. Oh, we're out of time. But you know what?
Yep.
I'm feeling like a little fun, so we're going to do one more card. And this card is Dolly Parton is the category. And I'm just having fun. All right.
I'm going to go. Good night. See you guys next week.
All right.
Well, good night.
No, you won't.
We'll see you.
Oh, you're not going to be on next week. That's right.
She's not here,
Okay.
Well, have a good trip. Stay safe and don't roll around on the beach.
Okay. No sex on the beach.
No sex on the beach. All right. Good night.
Night.
We'll see us.
All right. We're going to do one more card because this is all we got left before I'm gone for a week.
Yep.
All right, and the category is Dolly Parton. In what state was Dolly born?
Tennessee?
That is correct. What Dolly song was a huge hit for Whitney Houston years after its initial release?
I Will Always Love You.
Yep. What did Dolly say we've already had enough of in the White House when asked if she would ever run for president?
That's we pretty... already had enough boobs in the White House.
Yes! Oh, gee. That is brilliant. God,
that was
brilliant. My respect for her just went up exponentially. And I'm pretty sure that this is before Donald Trump was elected.
Yeah.
All right. You see, Alan should have stuck around. He would have appreciated that one.
Yeah.
What musical inspired by a movie she starred in years earlier did Dolly write the score for?
I know that. The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
No.
Oh, no. How could I get that wrong?
It's more recent than that. And it didn't start as a musical stage show, which Best Little Whorehouse did.
Oh, okay.
I'll give you a hint. Lily Tomlin, Jane Fonda.
9 to 5,
the musical.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Awesome.
All right. What about herself did Dolly describe as a cross between Tiny Tim and a nanny goat?
Tiny Tim. Nothing about Dolly Parton reminds me of Tiny Tim.
Her voice.
Oh, okay. Get your mind out of the gutter, Charlie.
What is the name of Dolly's theme park?
Dollywood, isn't it?
Yep, Dollywood in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Well, that's all we've got time for tonight. And I want to thank you for joining me here, Charlie and Wayne and Alan, who's already left us. And remember, it's not what we don't know that gets us in trouble. It's what we know that just ain't so.